Second Peter, the third chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Start reading at verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You notice he's talking here about the end time, the very end time, when the heavens and earth will burn. And notice the next verse, what he tells us why we should take account of that, why we should be interested in that. And in the next verse he tells us, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know, always when he's talking about the end times, when he's talking about Jesus coming again, he has a purpose and a reason behind that. It's not just for us to know, but it's for us to be alert. He said, notice there, he said, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be of all holy conversation and godliness? He said, because this is the way it's going to be, how should we live? What should we do? Then notice he says in verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And once again, notice what he says in verse 14, wherefore, see what I've just said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let us pray. Father, once again, I thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, we trust that you'll use us for your glory, your honor. Lord, that we'll be encouraged in the faith, helped, Lord, tonight to just be better for you than we've ever been, to be aware, Lord, that these times are serious times, and Lord, that the coming of Jesus, we believe, is very near. And Lord, that ought to stir our hearts and help us, help it to do that tonight. And once again, we pray for our pastor as he preaches tonight. God bless him, help him, empower him, use him in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians, please, and I want to read a few more verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I want to start reading at verse number 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice he said that, and he's talked about the rapture of the church. If you're familiar, you know that the rapture, we're looking for it today. Every day we look for the rapture. There's absolutely nothing whatsoever that has to take place before Jesus comes and takes his church home. He'll lift us off of this old earth one day and take us up to be with him forevermore. The scripture that I read to you a little while ago was dealing with the end time, the time when the earth would be burnt and destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth made. But here he's talking about the rapture. And I want you to understand again, once he says this, he gives us verse number 58. What does he say? Well, because of this, because of the rapture, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Once again, he says to us, since we know that the rapture is coming, and he's encouraging us and telling us it is coming, what should we do? Well, we ought to be steadfast, unmovable. You see, we ought to live for God. We ought to walk with God. See, that's the purpose he tells us. When he tells us about the rapture and the coming of Jesus, it's for the purpose of to stir our hearts to godly living and also godly service. Amen? You know, the coming of the Lord, and I'm going to preach a message tonight, which I've entitled, The Last Days, Jesus is Coming. We are in the last days. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. I believe scripturally we're going to try to show you that tonight. Rapture of the church, the second coming. The first scripture that I read to you, you know, there's scoffers. There's people who do not believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, that he's soon to come. They just don't believe that. Well, and in fact, that is true in the church. I'm not saying this church, but I'm saying it is true in, quote, the church in America. They want to downplay the coming of Christ. But there is one thing that kind of concerns me. I remember I received Christ as my Savior in 1966. Soon after that, we began to hear the scriptures. You got to understand that I came out of when I was a young boy, a church that never taught us anything. I didn't even know I was saved. I didn't know any of those things. So I was, you know, really pretty dumb on the scriptures. I just didn't know much about it. And when I began to hear that Jesus Christ was coming again, I mean, that was an excitement to me. Amen. There was just something in me, you know, I couldn't get enough of that. And there was times when we would take our family. David would have been 3 years old when I received Christ as my Savior. He was our youngest. He was 3 years old. But we would take our family and sometimes drive many miles just to hear a message on the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, to us, it was exciting. We just couldn't hardly wait to hear about it. And the reason I'm saying that to you is that I don't see that today as a whole. I don't see an excitement about it. And we were excited. Jesus is coming again. I mean, we would talk about it amongst the brethren. We'd talk about it and talk about it could be today and, you know, get excited about it as young Christians. And I've driven, I suppose, probably close to 100 miles just to hear a message on the second coming of Jesus Christ, because they used to advertise them. So they're going to, in the revival service, certain night, they're going to preach on the second coming. I mean, we went. We took our family and went. And I'm just saying, I don't know, and I don't know how you feel. I'm not trying to pinpoint you and ask you how you feel. I'm saying I don't, as a whole, hear the excitement about Christ coming that there used to be. It's just to me, it's just not there. And I don't know how you feel inside about it, but I, on a regular basis, get up of a morning and simply say to the Lord, is it today? Is it today? And maybe that's causing I'm an old man. I don't know. But I get up in the morning and look forward and say, Lord, it would sure be good if it was today. I look forward to seeing him and being with him. And on the other hand, I know, as I think, I don't know whether I preached it here lately, but on the keeping your eye on the judgment seat of Christ is something serious too, because will we be that glad to see him? I'm not preaching on that tonight, but I'm just simply saying, but I do look forward. The Bible tells me to look for his coming, and I do look for his coming. But again, I'm saying to you, there doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement in the Christian world about Jesus coming. Well, it may be the reason for that is because he says, you know, he's going to come in the day which you think not. And I wonder if we really are thinking truthfully that he's coming. I don't know about that. I don't know how you feel. I don't know. Or that maybe it's a long way off when he's coming. But there is a lot of scoffers when it comes to the fact of Jesus coming again. Jesus asked an interesting question in Luke 18. I'm not going to turn there. I just want you to listen to what he asked. He asked the question, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Boy, that's some question. I've pondered that a lot of times. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And I look sometimes, and I know, you know, when he comes in the rapture, there's going to be we who are saved, and we're going to go. But maybe he's talking about a different kind of faith. Maybe a faith that's a deep, abiding faith in him. That really looking for his coming. I'm not sure of that. But I'm just simply saying that's some question that's good to ponder. Amen? And so anyway, I believe something. I believe all we have to do is look around us. Look at some of the things, and that's what I'm going to do tonight. I just believe in my heart that we are in the last days. And I believe that. Now, when is he coming? In a day that we think not. I don't know what day, but that's the day he's coming, whatever that is. But I am saying to you, I believe he could come any day. And I believe he's soon to come. And I'm going to give you just a few ideas tonight on why I believe that. First of all, over in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter of the book of Luke, I'll just read two verses, verse 10 and 11. This is the Luke 21, verse 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now, I realize, I understand something. When you read all of those things, you talk about the earthquakes, you talk about all these weather patterns and all of those things. We know that there's always been earthquakes. There always has. And we know also, though, if you take notice, that these things are increasing in frequency. If you'll read even statistics, not just from a Bible preacher, but you'll read that there's multitudes and multitudes of earthquakes now, much, much more than there used to be. And the intensity of them and the frequency of them is growing more every day. And I believe it's a sign. I believe it's God is telling us we're moving forward. There doesn't have to be anything happen for the rapture to take place. But we're moving toward that time, and some of the things he says will happen during the time when he comes to judge the earth, when he comes again and sets up his kingdom. Those are things. But the rapture, it could happen right now, right this moment, and all scripture would have been fulfilled. We don't need anything else to happen. So I'm simply saying to you, though, if you look around, there's a lot of things in nature that is telling us we ought to look up and look for Jesus Christ to come. Between October 1991 and November of 2004, now that's a 13-year period. I just wrote down these statistics that I read. During that 13-year period, here is what's happened. 9 of the 10 largest insurance disasters in the history of the United States took place. 9 out of 10. Also, 9 out of 10 of the largest FEMA relief costs took place in them 13 years. 5 of the costliest hurricanes in history took place in those 13 years, and that was not including Katrina, because Katrina happened after 2004. Okay? Then also, 3 of 4 of the largest tornado swarms in the history of the United States took place in those 13 years. Just here a few months ago, when that tornado went through Bloomfield and I think done some damage to the school, did you realize in that 2-day period, they the last count I heard was close to 70 tornadoes during that time, and they said it would probably go to 90 when they got all the figures in. 90 tornadoes. It was a swarm of tornadoes that happened. Now you say, Brother Ross, there's always been tornadoes. I know that. But they are increasing in frequency and intensity. It's getting more and more and more. And I realize there's been times of great floods. I understand those things. But folks, you better get your eyes open. You better look. God is telling us. God is warning us. God is saying, look up. It's just not happening in America. This thing is happening across the world. All of these things that are going on. Well, why is God allowing us to see that? He's wanting us to get stirred that it's coming near. The time is near. And he wants us busy. And he wants us living holy lives. Godly lives. Amen? And so in that, I would say to you young men out there, you young men, I don't know what God's got for your life. Don't let me ever tell you. You let God tell you. Don't you let any man tell you. You let God tell you. Men can be an encouragement to you and a help to you and help in encouraging you. But you let God tell you. But we need preachers. I say that just about every time I preach anymore. We need preachers, old-fashioned Bible preachers that'll preach the Word of God, that'll give their heart to the Lord and say, here I am, just use me. So I say that really not in the message, but I'm saying that we just need preachers. We need men of God that'll just step out, and we'll talk about this in a few moments, but step out and start some good old-fashioned churches, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, and Baptist churches that'll just preach the Word and hold to the things of the Bible. Amen. So we see these things, and as I said, that was before Katrina, okay? And these natural disasters are everywhere. I believe we're in the last days. That's in my heart. We're in the last days. Not only that, we see the signs of wicked hearts. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, please. God tells us in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he gives us a list of things that's going to be prevalent during those times. But this is in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. Let me read verse 1. This know also that in the last days, did you hear? The last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's three things in there that sticks out to me, although all of them are very important. And we're seeing every single one of them today in today's world. And folks, listen to me. As I look at this, as I read this and study this, I have for years, I don't think he's just talking about a wicked world. I think he's writing to the church. There's much of this that's in the church. Right in the church. And so he's telling us that's what it's going to be when? In the last days. And I want you to know that there's three things basically here that he talks about loving. And the one of them is, if you'll notice in verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now, folks, I've been preaching and pastoring for 38 years. And I want to tell you, I've dealt with a lot of people through that. Okay? And that's all right. That's the way it should be. But I want to tell you, one of the greatest problems that you'll ever see in marriages or problems in families is selfishness. Most problems could be straightened out in a marriage, I'm serious about this, if there wasn't selfishness. Well, she don't do this, or she don't do that, or he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that. Selfishness. I said most problems could be taken care of if we just get off of this lovers of self. Folks, it's a real problem. And if you don't think that's a part of the end days, if you don't think that's here today, I want to tell you it's here today. Lovers of their own self. You say, yeah, that's that old world out there. No, it's in the church. It's in the church. I know, I've dealt with it. You understand what I'm saying? Selfishness. Why don't we just look in a marriage and say, what's important for her? And she says, what's important for him? You'll be surprised how that works out. Amen. Why don't we just care more about her than I do me? And vice versa. You'd be surprised how that'll work out. Amen. Selfishness is a real problem. God says in the last days they're going to be lovers of their own selves. We're there. We are there. Secondly, if you'll notice there in that verse, he also said covetous. I want you to notice, let me say to you, we are there. Covetousness is everywhere. We got to have this, we got to have that. Folks, listen, don't tell me that we're not like that in the church, and church people are not like that. We've got deep desires to always want something else. We want more. We're not satisfied. We're never content. The Bible teaches if you're going to be content, you got to learn to be content. That's what Paul said. He learned to be content. I'm saying to you, folks, we're in the last days. And I know here in America, oh my, covetousness is a terrible thing. And it's in the church. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's lovers of money. You know, it's an interesting thing. I sat there and watched one night talking about the polls, these presidential candidates. I get tickled at that, but anyway. Presidential candidates, and it says all these polls, they said, well, list what is most important to you. What was on top? Economy. Is that more important than any of the rest? Economy. I know we want to make a living, folks. Listen to me. You see, back when Bill Clinton was running the second time, I had a Christian tell me, good, faithful Christian. I said, who are you going to vote for? He said, Clinton, of course. I said, why? He went, exactly what he said. Money. Economy. Now, here's what I believe, and it's a shame, because in all of those polls, I never see anybody come out and say, our relationship with God, that's what's important. Our relationship with God, that's why I think we need change. But it's the economy. It's these other things. But economy always is at the top. You know why? Because we're money lovers. We're covetous. See, that's what God said would be in the last days. Amen? Does anybody in here still believe that God is able to take care of us? without the New York Stock Exchange? Do you believe on a daily basis that God Almighty can take care of us? Not always our wants, but can take care of us. It's what he's promised to do. Amen. Now, look also at the verse number 4. Another thing that was lovers of. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Folks, we are there. America has arrived. You just look at the sports things that's going on every week. Some other sport or a new kind of sport, and the stadiums are filled. I'm just simply saying, we love pleasure. And it just isn't no sports things, it's everything else. Look at the amount of money that is spent on pleasure items for families to buy so they can have pleasures. And he says it's more than lovers of God. You say, Brother Ross, you're trying to tell me I shouldn't have pleasure? Of course I'm not. I'm trying to tell you God never should go before God. And if you take your money and you spend it on things like that and you won't even tithe and give extra offerings, we got a real problem. Amen. See, it isn't just the women, it's the men too. Women, I'm going to be your friend. It isn't just the women. We always give the women a hard time about their shopping and their spending. It isn't just the women. The men are just as bad. They buy their toys. Amen? Sure they do. I'm just simply saying to you, folks, listen, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Folks, we've arrived. We're in those days. So you say, Brother Ross, you think we're in the last days? I certainly believe we're in the last days. I believe the Bible proves it. I'm not going to go through all these other ones, but we could, disobedient to parents, unnatural affections, all those things are here. They're right here. You see, right before our eyes. And we've got to understand, we need to be looking up. Jesus is coming again. He's coming. Amen. See, there's not an excitement about Jesus coming. Amen. But I want to tell you, he's coming anyway. Whether we get excited about it or not, Jesus is coming, and I believe he's coming soon. Amen. we've got a lot of things to deal with now that we didn't used to have to deal with. I could look out here at Bob Townsley and Charles English, and I'm looking for some older folk. There's Brother Senders. Well, he's not too old, but some of the older folk. You look back, and there's some of these things, men, we didn't know a thing about. We didn't know a thing about abortion. Never heard the word when I was a boy. Didn't know nothing about it. Sodomy. Never heard of it. I didn't say it didn't exist. I never heard of it. Growing up, just outside of Fillmore, Indiana, never heard of it. We've come a long way. Amen. This domestic violence thing that goes on all times now. This is a shame and a disgrace. I mean, people just killing people, beating people, just because they're having problems in their homes. Folks, listen, we've arrived. We're in the last days. Amen. Child molestation. I can't even comprehend this kind of thing. I can't comprehend it in my mind how someone could do that. But it's everywhere. It's all over this country. Amen. Blasphemy against God like I've never heard before. I know there's always been blasphemy against God, but just standing against the God who created us. Don't want Jesus Christ's name used in prayer. The one who created us, the one who saved us, born us into the family of God, and we don't even want to allow his name to be used. We've arrived, folks. We're in the last days. Pornography, alcoholism, drug abuse, and now we've added gambling to it. You think we're not in the last days, you better look up. We're there. And Jesus said them would be the kind of things that would be evident in the last days before Jesus comes. Amen? You see, Jesus is coming again. Amen? Now, something else I want to share with you. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, let me read. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. When's this going to happen? It's in the last days. They don't want to hear the word of God. And he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. They do not want to hear the word of God. They want their ears tickled. They want to come to church and hear some kind of a message that'll just tickle their ears and make them feel good. Amen? Dear pastor, I think maybe Pastor Jerry may have said something about this. I can't remember, but a dear pastor we know, he called us up one day. He called Pastor Jerry and he called me and trying to get some answers. And he said, I don't know what to do, Pastor Ross. And I said, well, what is it? He said, well, he said, this lady and her husband's having a few troubles. And he said, I was trying to kind of help her and trying to just show her that what would be right scripturally for her to submit to her husband and all of this, and just giving her some teachings. And submit? Here's what she said. I don't like that. That's exactly what she said. I don't like that. And he said, but ma'am, look. And he showed her the scripture. Well, she said, I don't care what it says. I'm not going to do it. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If you think that's not prevalent in the churches of the United States of America, you're wrong. I'm not just talking about submitting. I'm talking about a lot of scripture where people just say, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Amen? So again, I'm saying to you, these are spiritual signs, spiritual conditions that are in the church today. And Jesus said, it's in the last days that you will see those things. I believe Jesus is coming. I'm not going to go over there. I'm not going to make a big thing out of it because you're familiar with it. 24th chapter of Matthew, in three different places in that one chapter, he talks about the false Christ, the false prophets. I read some time back that we have over 500 cults in the United States of America. Now, many of those are little segments and things, but over 500 different cults in America. Folks, they're everywhere. False teaching against the Bible, contrary to the Word of God. And God says that's the way it'll be in the last days. Amen? Let me tell you also something positive instead of negative. God said in the last days, he's also going to pour his spirit out upon men. And I want to tell you, if you're a person who likes history of revivals, and I try to read about those, back in the 1900s, early 1900s, there was the Hebrews, New Hebrews revival. I don't know if you've ever heard about it or not. I want to tell you what, it was exciting. Things that happened. God just poured his spirit out. I mean, they went over there to this place and the preacher came. I think it was, what was his name? Man, I can't remember. But anyway, the preacher went over there and God used this preacher. And he was going toward the church where he was going to preach. And he said people just began to fall on their faces, crying out to God, asking forgiveness. They got to the meeting, and I mean, they said just God just showed up. And all across that island, he said that it was just people just crying out to God, asking God's forgiveness. The power and the conviction of sin was so great. That you've probably heard of the Wales revival. That was around, I think, 1904, as I remember, and it spread past Wales. Same thing happened. just people just falling on their faces before God. Said to students that was in school, just fall on their knees and just start praying, asking God's forgiveness. What I'm saying is God will pour his spirit out. God will do things like this. Amen? And I want to tell you, you may not be completely aware of all of that, but I want to tell you, through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, God's spirit was poured out across America. No, not in every place. Here's what he did. And during that period of time, God just reached down and put his finger on multitudes of preachers, multitude of men, and said, I want you to preach. And they went out and started churches. They just give of themselves. They didn't question God. They didn't ask God if it was, you know, if he'd do this or that for them. If they did, they just give themselves. And along with that, he gave them people who was wanting also that same thing. And multitudes of churches were started across this land. One of them was Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because God put his hand on this preacher. A person who did not have any abilities. And I'm serious about that. And God said, I want you to preach. I didn't argue with him. I didn't question him. I didn't think I had a choice. Because he put his hand on me. He told me he wanted me to preach. I knew it just as sure as I know I'm standing here tonight, that God wanted me to preach. And then you go and you get to talking to people. Well, there's Bob Hamlin. He was saved right around that same time. Same time. I was saved in 66. You'll be surprised that the men was saved during the 60s and 70s there. And God just said, go preach. And start churches. And there was multitudes of churches started during that time. You see, Dr. John R. Rice, Dr. Robinson at that time had began the Independent Fundamental Baptist Movement. And God just put his hand across this country and multitudes of churches was started with men who weren't qualified to do it, but just done it because God said to do it. He poured his spirit out. I know he did. Pastor Jerry went to school up there and he said, Dad, it's phenomenal. I went up there to school and I met some of my roommates and got to knowing some of the other guys. And he'd say, well, what does your dad do? He said, well, he's a preacher. He's a pastor. He got saved. He'd say, maybe in the 60s. Well, my dad got saved in the 60s. Well, what did he do? Well, he went out and started a church. God called him to preach. He said, I mean multitudes of them up there, Dad. He said, we got to talking. He said, your dad got saved in 60s. Yeah, my dad. Well, my dad got saved. Well, what? He went out and started a church. Just over and over and over. God put his hand. Another went out in Southington, Connecticut at that same time, during that same period, is Jim Townsley. Went out there and started a church. You understand what I'm saying? You see, God will pour out his spirit. God wants to do, but has to find the people who are willing to listen. You see, I don't know what God has for you, but I know he's looking for volunteers. I know he's looking for people that'll say, okay, God, whatever you want. See, he will do that. Amen? So I'm saying to you, yes, there's spiritual things. There's good things that God can do and will do for us. Another thing that is a sign, as far as I'm concerned, that we're in the last days is the understanding of Bible prophecies. You go into the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, and you'll find Daniel saying, God is giving Daniel some information. And he says, I don't understand it. He said, that's all right, Daniel, seal it up till the end times. And Daniel did. And then the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, which opens up tremendously the book of Daniel. And then we know that the nation of Israel went back in 1948 and become a nation again. Folks, without that happening, much of the prophecies that we find in the Bible could have never took place. But it did. In 1948, Israel became a nation again. That is a Bible prophecy that we all ought to look to and say, oh my, it's getting time for Jesus to come again. Amen? Amen? See, if you look in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, you find where God is going to regather Israel to its land. The bones, the dry bones, came together. And God tells us in that chapter that it was Israel he was talking about. I've heard people say, well, who's he talking about? It tells in that chapter he's talking about. He's talking about Israel, gathering them together once again, bringing them back to their land. If you look at chapter 35 and 36, you'll find in them portion of Scripture, in Ezekiel, you'll find that God gives us a picture of the Arab nations that live around them that wants to destroy him. They hate Israel. They want her run off into the sea. They despise her. We're living in those days. Amen? And then in chapter 38 and 39, it's a picture of Russia and all of her Muslim allies, which will come against Israel, come down from the north, and will fight against Israel. Amen? Folks, we're there. We're there. If we just keep our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open, we are there. Zechariah, I'm not going to go back to these for sake of time because I've got to watch that. But Zechariah, the 12th chapter, tells us about Jerusalem being a cup of trembling and a stone. I can't think of what the word was. Joe, do you remember? Sorry if you don't. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But anyway, it's a hard time for the nations around Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is in the news every single day. It's there. Amen? You see, what happens is the control of Jerusalem is debated on a constant basis. Do you know what the Vatican wants? The Vatican wants it under their control. They want to move into Jerusalem and they want to take control of Jerusalem. Then, of course, we got the United Nations who wants it internationalized. And then we've got Europe, which they want it divided between the Arabs and the Jews. And then we got the Arabs, and they want it all. They want it. I mean, Jerusalem, if you just read in the paper and you see Israel, years ago, you never seen Israel in the paper, hardly any in the news. Maybe you can't remember that far back, but I can. And now all at once, it's everywhere on a constant basis. That ought to awaken us, folks. That ought to make us realize Jesus is coming again soon. And then also, there's the technology. I'm not going to go back here and read, but I want to tell you, the technology has a lot to do with that today, that we can look at that and say, we have the technology to see come to pass those things that are in the Bible. You see, if you go back to the book of Revelations and you study chapter 6 through 8 and you find the seals and the trumpets, you find all of that, you'll find terrible things that are happening. Now, I don't know. I know there's a lot of people who don't believe that. I'm just simply saying, and it's okay, I'm just simply saying, we have the technology to blow this place up. We have nuclear bombs that could scorch this earth. Now, I'm not saying God will do it that way. God will do it however he wants to do it, and he won't ask me about it. But I'm saying we have the technology. You shoot off a bunch of those nuclear bombs, and I'm going to tell you, we're in real trouble. And yet you read in there, and you read in those verses, and one-fourth, the Bible says, of the earth, and that's in the seals, one-fourth of the earth will be killed with a sword, with hunger, with death, it says, and with beast. One-fourth. Can you imagine that? And then you get into the trumpets, and the first trumpet blowing, one-third of the part of the trees and the grass is burned up. One-third. Then the second trumpet, one third part of the sea becomes blood. A third of the fishes die. And a third of the ships are destroyed. Now what I'm saying is, I'm just simply saying to you, we have technology to do that. Now I'm not saying God will do that. I don't know how he'll do it. But I'm saying we have technology to do it. You remember when the two witnesses in the 11th chapter of Revelation, two witnesses come and they do the work that God has sent them to do, and then they are killed and their bodies lay in the streets for 3 days. The Bible says the whole world sees them. Satellite TV, the whole world can see it. We have the technology that would be necessary for that to happen. Amen. Antichrist controls the buying and selling on a worldwide basis. We have the computers to take care of that. Technology is here. How could the gospel be proclaimed to all the world before the internet and the technology involved in it? Little Blessed Hope Baptist Church over here in Jasonville, Indiana, the way I understand it, I don't know whether Brother Klein's back there or not, I can't see that for. But anyway, Brother Klein, I think, tells us that don't some of those messages that Pastor Jerry preached go across the seas? Am I right on that? Here in Jasonville, Indiana? Come on, folks. Do you realize that the whole gospel could be preached to the whole world because we have the technology to do it? Amen? So you think we're not in the last days? We're in the last days. Amen? So what are we going to do? You know, we could name a lot of things. I don't have time to do that. We can name a lot of things that's going on top of what I've just told you. I'm just simply saying to you folks, what are we going to do with this information? Jesus is coming. We're in the last days. And we just better get ready for it. So what does God say? Well, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Now what he tells us? At the same time, you know what he tells us? Let not your hearts be troubled. Tells us when he talks about the rapture, he says, comfort one another with these words. Oh, it's a time of comfort to know that Jesus is coming again. Amen? That's comfort. Comforting. But it's also serious. So I'm just simply saying to you what I've just tried to share with you tonight. I want you to understand, I believe anyway, and I think the Bible backs it up, we are in the last days. We're there. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming soon. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your kindness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for that wonderful promise that Jesus is coming again. And you've told us to not let our hearts be troubled. You've told us to comfort one another with these words, and well, we should. And oh God, thank you for them great promise. And then, Lord, also the seriousness of the hour. Help us, O God, to realize, Lord, we're in the last days. We're there. We've arrived. And, Father, the soon coming of Jesus is very possible any time. Thank you for that great truth. In Jesus' name, amen.